As the years accumulate, some of us seniors just may have become kind of contrary. Some of this is because, as seniors, we find it very difficult to accept something new. So we act against it. But, you know, being contrary is far more than just resisting change. It is a personality trait, not limited to age. And it's a trait which seeks control in order to enhance one's own ego. Being contrary is to be in opposition to real or imagined authority, which threatens one's self-perceived authority. No matter what the issue, the contrarian will seek the opposite view, even if that view may be in contradiction to their own personal beliefs. You know the person. They will always find a way to try to get the upper hand over you. Now, politicos caught spin. And in today's politics, is overburdened with contrarians. This is most dangerous in a democratic process, for a contrarian has no room to compromise. None whatsoever. It is my way or no way. Even when the truth may state otherwise. Truth doesn't make any difference. It's my way. Being contrary begins with, in many of us, during early childhood. If a child does not get his or her way, then at worst, what occurs? A temper tantrum. During this time, there is no room for compromise. My way, and that's it. Or the temper tantrum will continue. Now, Jesus related this with the parable of children, saying the children were playing. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wanted you to dance to the music, but you said that you were not in the mood to dance and be happy. Not when you're having a bad day. Well then, since you are having a bad day, let's play sad and cry together by staging a mournful situation. We wailed, and you did not mourn. Nothing is right, and nothing pleases in a situation where the contrarian acts out. Now, I will admit I can remember times in my childhood and life during which this has played out. And in reality, I ended up being the loser. And the whole incident was a big waste of everybody's time. You know, the tragedy is that some may never learn that being contrary is just a waste of time at best. Jesus took it a step further in saying that being a contrarian becomes nothing more than an excuse. An excuse to avoid the truth, which may be seen as threatening. He said, for John came neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of the tax collector and sinners. This is contrarianness. On the one hand, John came in austerity as a messenger of God, and because of austerity and his eating habits, he was denied by the contrarians as having a demon. While on the other hand, you would think a person with normal human habits would be accepted. But no. They found an excuse through exaggeration to reject the Son of God, whose lifestyle you would think would be accepted. You can't win. You can't win for losing. Their contrarian actions were no more than an excuse, though, not to give this Jesus any credence in their lives. They had quickly seen that both John and then Jesus were a threat to their own egos and authority. Nothing that Jesus would have or could have done would have been able to break these contrarians' minds, their words, and their actions. Nothing. All the miracles and all the words of Jesus could never be accepted as being a special message from God, since it was not in their control, the authorities' control, and they were supposed to be the authority. Don't threaten that. No matter how much life is experienced and how many years are lived, those who have never gotten beyond the childishness of being contrary have never let the lessons of life penetrate their being. They have no idea. They have no idea about wisdom, but only selfish usage of their supposed intellect. It must be understood that wisdom comes only through being open to the understanding which all of life presents, and thereby accepting the truths which experience teaches. Wisdom is fed by the very act of living in this world as God's creation. As a result, a person's wisdom is reflected in how that person's life is lived. The actions of life are reflective of whether there is wisdom or the lack of it. Jesus put it this way, yet wisdom is vindicated in her deeds. One's life is in plain view for all to see. And if wisdom is lived, then all will see that in one's life. Faking it is not possible. The truth will be seen. One only fools oneself if they think otherwise. We are an open book. There's no room. There's no room for the contrarian in the gospel of love. Love is not a closed door which blocks out wisdom, which blocks out life, which blocks out the message. But it is an open door which listens and receives, then evaluates and assimilates, then sacrifices and gives. That's wisdom. There's no room for the contrarian's intellectual word games, for God's love is far above and beyond that. Those intellectual pursuits only lead to self-pride and become a god unto themselves. To have such a god leads to being the contrarian who can no longer see the truth of the gospel. In fact, life becomes an excuse to avoid living the truth of God's love. The gospel becomes a hidden treasure, never to be found. Jesus related this when he said, "You know, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden those things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." You see, to be an infant is to be in awe and wonder of all of the mysteries of life. It is knowing that you need the loving, life-giving support from those whom loved you, not only brought you into the world, but who gave you constant care and sustenance. That's being an infant. Without being open and receptive to this love, without any contrariness, is what being an infant is all about. It is important to realize that even though we may have surpassed the infancy years, and all of us now are older, and even mature adults or seniors, we are still infants and are dependent upon God's love for our daily living and our hope for the future. Knowing that dependence is wisdom. Just like being an infant, we may not understand or need to understand all the mysteries of life in order to receive and to live this love. We need not and cannot have a total intellectual understanding of the universe and God's eternal loving nature. To pursue and be consumed by an all-encompassing intellectual life can lead to a destiny of being a contrarian and lose sight of our relationship with God through Jesus. Now, this is not to downplay intellectualism, but it must be placed in perspective. In perspective with all of life, and not become all-consuming. Then wisdom begins to grow. To be human carries the burden of thinking that what we must have, all that we must have all the answers to life. You know that. All the responsibility of being able to logically explain life's mysteries. And that all of the authority of life's truths rests upon our shoulders. And this burden is caused by the human trait of pride, egocentricity, and misunderstanding of human limitations. The healing solution for this burden is found in Jesus' command. Come to me. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. This rest comes when we understand through faith that God is a reality in our lives and that we are a vital part of his creation. This means that we not only receive his love, but are able to willingly share our lives through love with each other. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The burden of our human limitations is lifted when we begin to experience the gospel of Jesus, the love of God. We no longer have anything to prove, because love needs no proof. We need not seek personal authority, for our authority rests in the life and the message of Jesus. We need not have all the answers to life, for through faith we know that what gives life meaning and fulfillment, we know what it is, and the message of a loving and forgiving God. Now, this past Tuesday, we celebrated the independence of our nation, which was born out of the need to be lifted from the burden of political and economic repression. The people were not of one accord in this effort. Many said the revolution was born out of being contrary and only supported its self-interest and not the true interest of the colonies. These loyalists could have been the real contrarians. This division could have ended any hope for a free and independent nation, regardless of the outcome of the war. It took wisdom of compromise to defeat the contrarians who almost destroyed the whole endeavor. The wisdom of compromise gave birth to these United States, and it is this spirit which will save this nation today. The spirit of compromise is born out of love and must be the objective of the American people. The role of the church in this is to take Jesus' words seriously and be the beacon of hope by helping people to be lifted out of the burden of contrarianism into the wisdom of love and understanding. It must proclaim that in being a child of God, each of us has a gift to give in order to solve the problems confronting us. To deny these God-given gifts is to deny God and his love. It is to deny having the burden of our self-promoted authority lifted so that the burden may be shared among all of us in love. Remember, we are commanded at this time when the burdens seem to be so heavy, we are commanded, come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens. And you know what? I will give you rest. This command is essential for all of us to realize, for it is our ultimate hope. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Amen.